maybe they had a fire at some point in their history. I don't know. I don't know anything about Calgary.
It's what the history textbooks don't tell you, Rob.
Yeah, exactly. Canadian history. Not taught in America, much to everyone's surprise.
You would be amazed. All right.
Yes, indeed.
Let us begin. Match day 5 of La Liga Santander action is complete. And we have yet another new leader atop the table, Rob. It is Athletic. They beat Alaves 2-0 on Sunday. But before we get into all that, let's go back to Friday, where Osasuna and Betis drew 0-0. Osasuna pretty unlucky. They were much, much better than Betis, who are finding it very rough under new coach Ruby. Osasuna, one of the 3 unbeaten teams left in La Liga. They've drawn 4 straight. They don't lose at home. Yeah, I think they're going to stay up comfortably. They've been good on their return so far.
Looking like old school Osasuna.
Yeah, I think I've lost count. It's like 28 unbeaten at home, I want to say.
I mean, they've been great. Yeah. It's what they do in La Liga. I mean, they have a goal difference of 1. It's what they do. They're pretty solid as a club.
Just the 3 goals conceded in 5.
Not bad at all.
Not bad. On Saturday, Villarreal beat Valladolid 2-0. Pretty penalty from our dear friend Santi Cazorla. Well, more your dear friend than mine.
I mean, he's a great player. He's a La Liga legend, really.
Yeah.
Of course, he was fantastic for Arsenal. Arsenal's captain for a good bit of time. Good player. Great player. Love to see him scoring, and amazingly came back from that injury. And it was a good match, actually. I mean, Villarreal have a good team. I don't think that they're really going to challenge for top 4 like that, but it's a solid squad they put together.
And they kept back-to-back clean sheets. Never thought I'd say that about that defense, but there we are.
Absolutely.
There we are. Levante and Eibar played out a goalless draw. Really, really good goalkeeping in this game. Eibar are still without a win. They are in the drop zone, just 2 points from 5. Granada, 2. Barcelona, 0. Could not believe what I was watching. Granada got a goal inside the first couple minutes from Ramon Aziz, and then a penalty from Alvaro Vadillo in the 66th minute, and that was all she wrote. Granada, not just winners, but comfortable winners at home.
It turns out having Antoine Griezmann and some sexy throwback jerseys doesn't guarantee you a win in La Liga.
Griezmann didn't register a shot on target. You hate to see it, don't you?
You surely do.
You just hate to see
it. And playing Sergio Roberto in midfield, stinking the joint up.
This is Barcelona's worst start to a season in nearly 25 years.
Their squad is bad.
They've picked
up. Like, the team they played was just bad. I mean, they have some good individuals in there, but it's just not a good team.
No, and Messi still isn't fit. And right. their defense is just a mess. They've conceded 9 times in 5 games. 7 points from those 5 games. Have not won away from home this season. Yeah, it's not looking great for old Ernie Valverde over there in Canada.
Hate to see that.
Yeah, what a result. What a result. Good for Granada, who worked top of the table briefly this weekend before Sunday's events. But great, great stuff from Granada. Getafe beat Mallorca 4-2, the early game on Sunday. Mallorca are Atleti's next opponents, and this was a pretty entertaining one. Mallorca almost got back into it after falling behind 3-0, but Getafe managed to pull out their first win of the season. Not very often we see them put up 4 goals. Real Sociedad cut Espanyol open on the counterattack all day in a 3-1 win in Catalonia. I think Espanyol have lost all 3 of their home games this year. Yes, they have.
We know how dangerous Real Sociedad are.
Yeah, they're rolling right now. 3 wins and a draw to go with a loss from their first 5. They're looking pretty good. Alexander Isak got his first goal for La Real. Valencia and Leganés, that finished 1-1 at Mestalla. Dani Parejo scoring another penalty, his 3rd of the season already. But good for Leganés. They get a point at obviously a very difficult stadium, Mestalla. It's their first of the season. You got to start somewhere. And for Valencia, just 1 win from their first 5, although they did get that midweek win over Chelsea you would have thought that maybe would have kickstarted them, given them some momentum, but not quite, or at least not yet. Athletic 2, Alaves 0. Athletic went top of the table with this result, and they played very, very well. Raul García, we miss him dearly. He scored a penalty in the first half. Iker Muniain finished it off in the second half. And Athletic look really, really good, Rob. Just one goal conceded in five.
Yeah, after last season, which was a total mess, they look like they're really putting it together. I mean, they're not relying on our dear friend Arteta Ruiz as much as they used to be. Iñaki Williams really seems to be coming into his own.
Iñaki's been great. He's taken his game up another level so far this year.
They're just a great club. I mean, and I think really the underrated part is how good their defense is. I mean, they have some really quality defenders back there with Yeray and Inigo. They've been solid for years, but last year they really were just a mess all season long, but they've really put it together to start this year.
Yeah, just 9 months ago they were in the drop zone, and now they are top.
That's right.
After 5 weeks. Garitano has done a terrific job there. Absolutely good, great stuff for them. The final game Sunday, Sevilla 0, Real Madrid 1. Of course Madrid would go and win at Sevilla after getting bombed in Paris. Karim Benzema in the 64th minute getting the game's only goal. Sevilla really, really not good. But they're usually so strong at home, but the two games they played there against Celta and against Madrid, they just have not been able to close the deal. And Madrid were the better side, deserved the win, and they are level on points with Athletic atop the table despite always teetering on the edge of oblivion, so to speak.
I mean, I think it's an encouragement how much they stunk midweek against PSG. It was a really similar team to the one that played midweek as well. I mean, obviously, Eder Militao didn't play. He had a bit of a nightmare against PSG.
Yeah, I think Ramos was like the only replacement, wasn't he?
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, it's a very similar team, and of course, Madrid fans will still talk shit about Benzema, even though he's just been solid as rock for years.
Yeah, especially the last 2 years, his prominence and his abilities have been even highlighted even more since Cristiano Ronaldo left. He's just been brilliant for them, really, since last season, especially.
He's just a good player, but somehow people still don't think he's that good. Yeah. But he's still going to keep on scoring goals, isn't he?
Let us now move on to one of the three goalless draws from this match day five. And it occurred at a stadium called Wanda Rob. Atletico Madrid 0, Celta Vigo 0. That is the first time in 5 years Celta have come to play Atletico and walked away with a point. First time in 5 years. That's the first not-so-great thing about this match. We have several other not-so-great things to kind of worm our way through. Well, yeah, this kind of stunk. In my estimation, I think Atletico played well enough, particularly on 2 days rest, to win this match. But they could not do it. They could not find that extra little bit of precision and quality. Would you agree, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine how different it would have been if that Felipe chance in the second minute had been taken?
Oh,
I mean, that would have changed everything.
I mean, little do you know that's going to be your best chance of the match. It was a really powerful header. It looked like it was going in, and Ruben Blanco just flying makes the save. He was great.
It was a tremendous header.
Yeah, a lot of power. And Ruben Blanco made 3 saves in this game that were ridiculously good.
I mean, I think Felipe had a really good showing. I mean, I particularly was concerned about that signing because he's a 30-year-old coming from the Portuguese league, but in his minimal appearances that he's had, he's looked fairly solid.
Yeah, I suppose we can talk about the positives first. Felipe being one of them. Yeah, I thought he was really, really good, actually. A little wobbly with his passing at points, but won 4 headers. He made a few clearances, a couple interceptions as well. And I just thought he was solid. Good long ball delivery. Made a pretty solid partner for Jimenez in their first game together. Not so bad from him.
Yeah, not at all.
He looked very sturdy.
I mean, put up 3 shots.
Yeah.
As a central defender, I mean, that is pretty solid. You can't really ask for much more. I agree with you on his passing. He looked a little wayward, but I mean, if you have Jose Jimenez alongside him, you're not too terribly worried about that.
Yeah, and this gives you two really good aerial threats, not just in defense, but also from dead ball situations, if Jimenez and Felipe are going to play together more. Savage, I know he scored midweek, but Stefan Savage is not really an attacking threat. And Hermoso,
no, he doesn't score often.
Yeah, and Hermoso has scored a few goals, most notably last season at Espanyol, but we've barely seen Hermoso.
Yeah, it's starting to seem like Felipe is going to edge him out this season.
Yeah, that's not so great for old Mario there, who I thought was one of the signings of the summer, especially at the cut rate Atletico got him at as he ran down his contract to its final year. But
he's also a lot younger than Felipe, yeah. So it's not too terribly concerning.
And he might be the fourth center back, so his adaptation is going a little slowly. But no, Savage, as we know, has gotten off to a very good start. Felipe, as well, played well in this match on Saturday. Hector Herrera was one of the other new entries on how Correa was the third. What did you make of Herrera's performance?
I mean, you could understand why Simeone started him, given how well he did midweek, getting the equalizing goal against Juventus. And he did all right. I mean, 90% pass completion is pretty solid, and he did pretty well in the tackle as well. I mean, it's sort of what you expect out of Hector Herrera. I mean, he's an ultra-experienced player, and he was pretty rock-solid. I don't think he was spectacular in particularly. I mean, he's not going to really be a threat going forward, but he did well enough, I think.
I think he did what was asked of him, and he did it well. Made the simple passes, made the simple plays, 90% accuracy on his passes. And, yeah, he didn't venture forward a whole lot, but he did his job, and he did it pretty well over the hour he played. My sole issue, really, is that he came in over Thomas. And Thomas, I think, is just essential. And that's one of the key things that I've taken away from the first month of the season is that Thomas Partey needs to play every game he's fit for. He just offers something so different that a guy like Hector Herrera doesn't offer. Matter of fact, that no one else in this midfield really offers. That ability to break lines, that ability to distribute effectively is... He gives you a different feel, a different option.
Yeah, I think the thing we take for granted with Thomas is that he just does everything well. I mean, yeah. There's not a part of his game where it's like, oh, you know, I don't trust him there. I mean, he's decent defensively, and going forward, he can be a real threat, whether that's from a set piece or from open play. I mean, he's just an all-around, ultra-solid player.
Yeah, he just doesn't have very many weaknesses in his game, and he should be starting as often as Simeone can start him. I'm not sure if he thinks Thomas and Herrera are compatible with each other. Maybe that's part of the thinking. Maybe he just wanted to give him some rest. I'm not really sure. But that, other than the play of the fullbacks, which we'll get to in a sec, his importance, Thomas Partey's importance in this first month, it's been very prominent what he's done so far and what he means. He can score big goals. He can break lines. He can defend. He really is kind of a complete package out there.
Well, and especially if you're going to play Saul and Koke together in midfield, you need a Thomas Partey
right. To
sort of link that all together. Because otherwise, as we saw against Real Sociedad, it just looks disjointed and kind of awful.
Yeah, that is true. The final new entry into the starting 11 was Angel Correa making his first start of the season. We obviously know what his summer consisted of, the very protracted transfer saga to AC Milan that, of course, ended rather poorly for him. He agreed a deal to join Milan, but the move did not go through. He remains at Atletico, and he got an hour out there on Saturday. And, you know, just again, I hate to beat a dead horse, and I hate to pile on him, but he's just not that good. I mean, he is good in the sense that he's talented, he has flair, he can dribble really well, but his decision-making is just, it's so poor. And this is his fifth season now, and it doesn't look like it's getting better, Rob.
I mean, you can't really say that he's improved in any respect since being at Atletico, especially in the last 3 years at least. I mean, as our own Robbie Dunn said, it looks like the best $55 million AC Milan ever spent. Yeah,
it does.
Because, God, he is bad.
He's got talent, but he has not put it all together. And, again, I don't want to keep beating this point into the ground, but honestly, it just Correa is – he should be on this bench. And he has determination, and he works hard. He's exuberant, and those are qualities that Simeone enjoys, but there's just no real productivity. There's just no real – what's the end game with Correa?
Yeah, and you do wonder if he was under kind of a more driven or more focused on pressing coach, if he would kind of work out as a regular starter, kind of like a Roger Schmidt kind of manager, if that would work out better for him. But sort of in this weird role he's been with at Leti in the last few years, he's just been in and out of the team. He's had no consistent starts, and he's never really been able to build up any semblance of form.
No consistent position either.
That's right. I mean, he's played all over. He's played on the left. He's played on the right. He's played up front. And none of them have really worked out for him.
Yeah, it's one thing to be versatile. It's another thing to play well in those positions that you play in. Correa is versatile in that he can play multiple positions, just not terribly well. Two shots on 29 touches, only 69% pass accuracy. And he did complete five dribbles, though. That boosts his per 90 a little bit. But no, he just doesn't offer much. He offers more as a sub, and even then, his form is just questionable.
I mean, to offer a random comparison, he's kind of like a fantasy football kind of player. Like, he puts up the stats that'll get you points, but he's not actually doing anything that affects the team.
Back to the positives now. The fullbacks, Kieran Trippier and Renan Lodi, Rob, both played great. Trippier just continues to rock out there, doesn't he? Five key passes, completed 91% of his passes on 87 touches, which led all players. And his set piece delivery was just excellent. He was on corners and free kicks in this game. He made only kind of one mistake defensively, and it didn't come back to hurt him.
Yes, he should be. I mean, he has to be on all set pieces at this point. His delivery is excellent. You cannot question it at all.
In addition, he made five clearances. He blocked a shot, three tackles. I mean, what more do you want from a guy? Also, he put in 15 crosses, five of them accurate. I think I'm picking up on a strategy here from Simeone.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like it's almost like Atleti really needed some new fullbacks that could actually run.
Yeah. Trippier can do that.
Yes, he certainly can. I mean, it's been a brilliant addition. I was really concerned about it, but he's been great. You can't deny how good he's been.
Renan Lodi has been a little less consistent, but in this second half on Saturday, quite good. Threw in three or four crosses that were just so close. If someone had been on the end of them, they would have been easy tap-ins. Very, very dangerous down the left. Gave Hugo Mayo fits. Absolute and fits.
Good for him to have a big game as well. I mean, granted, none of them ended up in the goal, but he's kind of had a rough start to the season, and I think in a lot of ways it's been unlucky, some of the decisions that have gone his way, in terms of him being sent off and all that. But I like him. I like what I've seen so far. Obviously, he's talented going forward. He needs to work on the defensive side of the game a little bit more, but I think he'll get there. I mean, he's a young player, and he's shown a lot of potential, really, coming straight from the Brazilian league.
And he's been called up to the national team now for friendlies next month.
Which is incredible.
Talk about a rise. Yeah, Felipe Luis, on his way out of the club, said Lodi has a chance to be the best left back in Atleti's history, which that's saying something. I'm not saying we're seeing that right now, but Lodi is when he's been on so far, he's looked really, really dangerous. And yeah, you mentioned that Atleti kind of needed new fullbacks. They did, and Trippier and Lodi's form so far kind of explains why they have been absolutely critical playmakers.
And we like a Brazilian left back around these parts.
yeah, hasn't really let it go down in the past, I don't know, decade. So
that's right. Yeah, that's right. And Lodi certainly hasn't looked like any chump. I mean, he's been great. I really honestly didn't expect him to start this much to start the season, but he's fit right in. He's had some kind of shaky moments, but he's looked just fine.
Yes, I would second that. Let's go back to the negatives now, Rob. I am concerned about Sowell. I thought he just looked lost out there Saturday. Has not been a good first month of the season for him, and it looks like it's even impacting his decision-making. There was a chance he could have taken within the final 10 minutes to either pass or go for goal himself, and he just kind of stood there, and the pass was errant. His decision-making just usually is so sound, but he doesn't really even have that right now, and I'm a little worried about his form. We haven't seen a good game from him yet. We haven't seen that aggressiveness, that decisiveness from him yet that we've gotten used to seeing in the past few years. What's going on, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's kind of been one of those things that we haven't really talked about, but in the last few years, we haven't really seen much progression from Sowell in the way that we hoped that we would. I mean, he's had some good moments, but he's never really been able to put together a lot of great games, you know what I mean? I mean, he's been fine, but he's never been the sort of player that could take control of a match in the center of midfield, which we always sort of hoped that he would end up being. His goal-scoring record has been fairly consistent down the years, but despite that, it hasn't been entirely convincing. And to start this year, I think the lack of a defined role for him has really been a problem. And now it's starting to show.
Yeah, Sowell, as we know, has always been a showstopper. He is one for the spectacular. See that goal against Bayern Munich. See the goal against Leverkusen the following year in the Champions League. The goal against Leicester, which sent Atleti through to a semifinal that same season. He has a knack for scoring big goals. The goal against Lokomotiv in Europe, in the Europa League 2 years ago. From the halfway line. He has that flair for the spectacular. And I'm not saying it's papered over cracks he has as a player, because Sowell is a very complete midfielder. But you may be seeing this positional shuttling that he's undergone the past year. It may be coming back to haunt him, in a sense.
Yeah, you don't want to see him get the sort of Wayne Rooney-itis of not having a defined position and not being able to master anything specifically. We know he's brilliant technically. We know that he can score a clutch goal, but it is concerning how he can't really nail down a position in this team.
And we also know he can defend a little bit. He can drop back and disrupt play a little bit, but he's now got 2 yellow cards in 5 games. And he just, again, this lack of decisiveness, which used to be his biggest quality, that he could take that chance and score that wonder goal, we're just not really seeing that. And he's kind of a weak link right now, and it is concerning, because Simeone plays him so much, so often, and screws with his position a lot, usually out of necessity. Well, to him, at least, I would disagree. But it's a little tough for him right now. So he is a concern. Diego Costa. Yeah, he's also a thing. 90 minutes, 2 shots, neither of them on target. Picked up a yellow card of his own after the final whistle blew, because of course he did. Alvaro Morata came on for 20-plus minutes as Simeone's third sub. He did more in those 20 minutes than Costa did in 90 minutes.
I think now that Morata is back to full fitness, Costa has to be out of the team in the big matches, at least.
Yeah, I don't know if Costa and Morata together with João Félix behind them, I don't know if that's going to work. I do want to see it. I don't know if it's going to bring out the best of Costa, though. I don't know what's going to bring out the best in Costa, though. And it doesn't help that he's not getting a ton of service at the moment. But again, we're kind of missing that aggression, that kind of rampage, that rampaging part to his game, that kind of beastly part of his game. It's just, it's not really there.
Well, this team also doesn't have good wingers. So if you're going to play the two up top with Joao Felix in behind, you could potentially have a midfield three of Koke, Sal, and Tomas, just for example. And I wouldn't really hate that. It'd be weird, but it could potentially work. But, man, Diego has not looked great this year thus far. Morata has looked great in terms of his link-up play with Joao Felix. I mean, he's not been prolific, but those two have looked a much better combination than Costa and Joao Felix.
In the preseason, they were great, but that was the preseason. That 7-3 against Real Madrid was, you know, a while ago at this point. And, yeah, I think Morata has been in the better form to start this season, even though he's been out for 3 weeks with a knee injury. He's back now. And his relationship with someone like Kieran Trippier, that kind of crossing style, that cross-heavy style, favors him more than it favors Costa, because Morata is a better header of the ball.
It's so bizarre, the thing with Costa. I mean, it just seems like he's done. And it happens so quickly. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what to think about him anymore. It seems like it's just over.
There's still a good striker in there.
I hope so.
I don't know where he is, and I don't know. You don't know anymore how healthy he's going to be.
Well, that's the big thing.
He's
always been injury prone.
Yeah, and especially starting from his last season during his first stint at Atletico, the title winning season.
For the Champions League final, yes, and came on with the horse pussy.
Of course, in order to get him ready for a Champions League final, Atletico had to use what has now become kind of the stuff of legend, a treatment using horse placenta to heal his hamstring. Of course, he lasted 9 minutes, and the rest was history. Yeah, Costa has had hamstring problems for years now, and he was hurt several times last season, in addition to a couple key suspensions, one in the Champions League, especially that one really, really hurt against Juventus. But yeah, with Costa, you can't just fall back on his preseason form. We just can't. It was exciting when he scored 4 against Real Madrid. I doubt he's going to do it next week, though.
I totally agree, but and the weird thing about it was, after all of the injury stuff, he had 3 seasons at Chelsea where he was extremely solid and for the most part injury free in one of the more physical leagues in Europe. I mean, it's overrated how good the Premier League is, but one thing that it certainly is physical, and he survived it for the most part without being injured. And then he comes back to La Liga, and it's like he cannot stay on the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, there are positives and negatives that we've just spent a lot of time going through. And I think we can kind of wrap it all together by saying we still don't know what this Atletico team is. And that is both exciting and mortifying. You know, there is a real enigmatic quality, a really unpredictable quality about a team that is still searching for its identity, which we're very used to talking about, a defense-first team, a really rigid team with a functional attack. Now Atletico are trying to do something different. Atletico are trying to do it both ways. Against Juve in midweek, they took risks such as using a high press. It burned them a couple times, but they were able to rally and get an important result, a draw against another elite team. Against Celta, I think the performance was fine. In 20 shots to Celta's 6, 5 on target. Ruben Blanco made 3 very good saves. Atleti's expected goals in this game, 1.75 to Celta's 0.57. This was a case of running into a good goalkeeper and some bad luck, and also just missing that little bit of quality. And that little bit of quality could have come in the form of Joao Felix, who made it less than 70 minutes, and Simeone kind of got defensive over him after the game, when asked why he didn't play the full 90 minutes, he said it's not in his contract that he has to play 90 minutes, which, ouch. Yeah, ouch. Damn, Joe.
Not great.
Yeah. But this is something we talked about last week, Rob, about the expectations on João Félix and how much he really could and should be contributing.
Yeah, I mean, he had a fairly decent match. I mean, it's crazy how young he is and the expectations that are on him at this point. But I feel like he's done well. I mean, I know that the beginning of the season, the results that Atleti had sort of made you think that perhaps the title was in reach. But when you really look at this team, it's a bunch of guys that have never played together before, and that was never going to happen. But João Félix, I think he's been good. I mean, I find it hard to criticize him at this point. I'm not mad at him for what he's done to this point. He's been fine for a 19-year-old wunderkind. He's been just fine. He's met my expectations.
I'm telling you, if he'd cost $50 million instead of $126 million, the conversation would be totally different.
Totally different.
For a lot of people, the debate would be totally different. And he's still learning. Simeone is still learning how to use him because he's not an exact replica of Griezmann. And Simeone hasn't been using him like an exact replica of Griezmann. Atletico's fullbacks have done just about all their playmaking this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he's been fine. He's been fine. There is nothing to worry about João Félix.
Like, maybe he should be getting more touches. He did attempt 3 shots in this game, though. And he had good chances midweek. He had another good chance here in the first half. So, you know, the real, not conversation, but the real barometer of how he's doing, you know, check back in a month or two. Check back in December.
Yeah, December, really.
Because remember,
we'll see how it's going.
Remember when Griezmann first arrived, he barely got off the bench until October. And it wasn't until December that he really started scoring goals. He had that hat trick at San Mamés, really electrifying hat trick. And he just rode that form basically until he left this summer.
I mean, he's 19 years old. And he signed an absolutely mega contract with a huge transfer fee. It's going to be all right. This season is not the time where that fee pays off.
He's the symbol of what I was saying earlier, that we don't really know what this team is. They could be capable of a title run. They could also, their ceiling for this season could also be, you know, a fight for fourth. They have kind of a wild floor and a wild ceiling.
And La Liga this season thus far has been absolutely nutty.
Oh, it's been bonkers, yeah.
So that could play to Atleti's favor, but, you know, we're going to see.
You know, picking up only 1 point out of 6 is a blow, but because Barcelona lost, Atletico still have a 3-point edge on them, and they're only 1 point behind Real Madrid.
And I don't think Real Madrid are good.
No, not particularly. And they have a lot of injuries, and they still have a lot of structural, tactical issues. And Atleti can make up that point next week when they play Real Madrid in the derby.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's next Saturday. That's the Saturday night game at the Wanda Metropolitano. But before all that, Rob, midweek fixture is my favorite. Ugh. Yeah. The midweek round, I've never been a fan of it. Just, there's no real need for it. But here we are. On Wednesday, Atletico are traveling to Palma to face Mallorca at Son Moix. Mallorca, currently 17th in the table. They had a shorter summer than most because they came up through the playoff. And yeah, their season didn't end until the final week of June. And then, oh, you got to start La Liga 8 weeks later. Sorry.
Not great.
Nah.
Not a great start to the year for them.
Nah. They are going to have to be strong at home. Mentioned this before. They're going to have to be strong at home if they want to stay up. They did have some nice moments against Getafe in that 4-2 loss. Ante Budimir got a couple goals, his first two of the season. They have Baba Rahman, Rob, of Chelsea fame.
Of Chelsea fame, of Jose Mourinho Chelsea fame.
Yes, he was the big Felipe Luis replacement back in 2015. He's now at Mallorca on loan.
Still just 25.
It's crazy how he's still that young.
Yeah. Yep, that is his age. He is 25 years old, and I respect it. I cannot believe that Chelsea bought him in the first place, because he was not that good.
One of the guys that everyone is going to have their eye on is 18-year-old Take Kubo on loan from Real Madrid. He has played only 109 minutes over three substitute appearances so far for Mallorca, but from the little that I've seen of him, looks like a pretty intriguing talent. He's gotten rave reviews since Madrid signed him over the summer.
Flipping from La Masia to Real Madrid is his main claim to fame.
Yeah, he was a Barcelona prospect before he jumped ship, joined Madrid. Madrid sent him on loan to Mallorca. So he's one of the more exciting talents here. Salva Sevilla is a veteran of Spanish football. Lago Junior as well. So this is
a plane trip to the islands midweek.
Yeah.
Just what we need.
You know, Atletico did enjoy their time when they played Las Palmas away.
Oh, God.
Back to the islands we go.
Oh, here we go. I guess a little bit closer.
Mallorca are an interesting group, and you know they're definitely in a fight to stay up because, again, they had such a short window. But they are an interesting group. They won back-to-back promotions. You can't take them for granted, definitely, but Atletico are the heavy favorites here.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the bottom of La Liga this season, and you think that there's a good number of teams that could be involved down there. And Mallorca certainly aren't out of the woods at this point. Atleti really need to get 3 points here, especially after two disappointing domestic results in a row.
Yeah, the loss at La Real wasn't totally unexpected. Atletico never play well there, and they played like crap last week. Saturday's result at home against a Celta team that, yeah, does have a bit of talent, especially Rafinha. Getting him back from Barcelona was a coup. He was about as good as Odegaard was last week. Rafinha, I thought, was fantastic. Celta have had a rough start to the season because they faced a lot of good teams. That being said, you got to pick up as many points as you can at home. 1 point from six, that's just not going to – that's not consistent enough. That's not good enough if you want to mount a title challenge. And Atletico,
well, on a newly promoted side, you got to take 3 points.
Atletico have got to get back on track, yes, especially with the Madrid derby next weekend. This is a good chance to rotate even further. I would expect Hermoso to come back in as an option to start. Could maybe see Morata starting. Perhaps Costa is benched. Thomas Partey is going to come
back
in.
I would expect Morata and Felix as the front two.
Or this could be a good time to give João Felix some rest.
Potentially, but I sort of see this as one of those things where Simeone just rides João Felix.
You don't want to burn him out, though.
I know, but that's what Simeone does.
Nah. Sadly, you're not entirely wrong. Sadly.
Yeah, I know. I feel like João Felix is just going to play.
Yeah, we'll see. I think this would be a good time to either start him on the bench, have Modest substitute. Marcos Llorente, I think, will come back in. It makes sense. He didn't play at all this past weekend. It would be, Hermoso and Llorente coming in would be good for them. And it would give, maybe we'll see Felipe and Hermoso. Maybe Jimenez and Savage both get the evening on the island off.
Wouldn't bet on it, Jeremy.
I can dream.
I wouldn't bet on it.
He says weekly.
Yes, indeed. I bet Savage is going to start.
Which is fine. I mean, Savage didn't play over the weekend either, so that would make sense if he started. Perhaps we see Hermoso at left back, or we perhaps see a return to three center backs with Savage, Hermoso, and Felipe, which that would be very interesting. I don't know. There are a few guys here, particularly the fullbacks, who could use a breather.
I mean, this club doesn't have any wingers. And basically, that would require, if you're going to play three at the back, you're going to play Lodi and Trippier. who could certainly be good as wingbacks, but man, there aren't any replacements for those two at fullback or wingback.
Yeah, which is why if Cholo wants to give them rest, he's either going to have to call up someone from the B team or just change the system entirely.
Santiarius still hasn't played.
You know what? Hey, this would be a perfect game for Santiarius to play. Absolutely perfect. The fullbacks, both of them need rest. Cholo does have some options here. He's in a pretty good position to give some guys a night off, manage minutes ahead of the derby next weekend. I don't really know what to expect in terms of his rotations, but I think he's going to do it. And it's a good opportunity for a guy like Arias in particular. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I really hope. I mean, more than anyone, I think Trippier needs a match off. Give Arias a run out, please.
Yeah.
So, as good as he's been, I mean, Trippier needs some matches off.
And especially with the big one looming next Saturday. This will be a really good time to do it. Some of the other midweek highlights include Barcelona taking on Villarreal Tuesday night, Valencia and Getafe, a battle of European sides. Valencia, of course, in the Champions League, Getafe in the Europa League. They won. They beat Trabzonspor, by the way, last week. Not a very good game by like any means, but got the 1-0 win. Real Madrid
plays. Is any Europa League match a good game?
Few of them. I mean, you watch Arsenal in the Europa League, you would know.
I don't. I saw two seasons of it. I'm good now. I'm fine. I just look on my phone.
Real Madrid play Osasuna Wednesday night. Sevilla go to Eibar the first kickoff on Thursday. So a few intriguing matchups this week. I assume you have Atletico beating Mallorca on Wednesday.
I would surely hope so.
You got a prediction.
Let's go with the newly promoted side result of 3-2. Arsenal versus Aston Villa. It's the way to go.
Surely it will not come to that.
God let us hope not, but you never know.
Surely it won't come to that. But that's true. Yeah.
It could happen.
Yeah. How fun. All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to sign off. We did have a couple questions that we weren't able to get to from Twitter. Thank you, everyone who submitted questions. We did try to answer them during the flow of our conversation as well as we could. But please do keep submitting them for future episodes. Of course, our Culture Neuro Chat amigos get priority. So do keep that in mind. Rob Walker, thanks so much for joining me on this edition of Culture Neuro Chat.
Oh, my pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. You can follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Feel free to leave us a rating and a review if you feel the desire to, the burning desire within you to do so. And as mentioned earlier, head over to the Patreon page for some exclusive hashtag content, patreon.com/CultureNeuroChat. I will be doing instant analysis on Wednesday following Mallorca and Atletico. And we'll have some more goodies over the weekend with the Madrid Derby, just less than a week away. Patreon.com/ColtGeneralChat. Talk to you later. Adios.